Can you hear us?
Yes.
Your name, sir?
Thomas Harris.
Thank you, sir. Who has Mr. Harris?
Is Thomas Harris?
Yes.
That's me.
Sir, the next voice you hear is the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and he will be serving as the panel lead for your hearing. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, sir. Can you please state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
Thomas Harris, 219941.
Thank you, sir. We're praying for the Illinois Board of Executive Tendency this afternoon in reference to the community supervision application. I'm going to introduce the board members and conduct your hearing at this time. On the screen to your far left is the Honorable Michael Johnson, then the Honorable Joe Rittenhouse, then we have the Honorable Willie Canonis, who's the acting board chairman. My name is David Neal. I'll be the hearing lead. And all the way on the right is Dr. C.T. Wright. My mind just went blank. Also in the room today, from the Department of Corrections, we have the Honorable Mr. Brady, and he will also represent the patrol office today. So prior to the hearing, sir, you received a notification from the advisory committee of the board hearing. Do you remember that notification?
Yes.
Okay, on that form, you are notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
I'm
representing
myself, I guess.
Okay. So I'm going to swear to you, Mr. Brady, at this time. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes,
I do.
From the hearing, we've left in two phases, sir. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So for phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the four allegations that are on the warrant, and after each one, I'm going to ask if it's true or false. So allegation number one is a violation of Illinois Conditional Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol, ETG, on or about November 28, 2018, for the task LCMS lab report dated December 4th, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
It's true.
Thank you, sir. Okay, allegation number two is violation of Illinois Conditional Supervision number 14B, as demonstrated by the failure to plug the tracking device into an electrical outlet immediately if the tracking device vibrates and power LED flashes red on or about December 19, 2018. That true or false, sir?
Just true.
Okay, allegation number three is a violation of Illinois Conditional Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for blood testing on or about December 24, 2018, for the task individual testing compliance summary dated October 25th, 2018 through 12, December 27th, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
It's true.
Okay, allegation number three is violation of Illinois Conditional Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol, EDG, on or about December 26th, 2018, for the task lab report dated January 4th, 2019. Is that true or false, sir?
Yeah, that's false.
That's false?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you said false, we should go
ahead. Do you have a chance to explain this?
You have a chance to explain in depth a little bit, okay?
Okay.
All right, so at this point, what we're going to do, Mr. Brady is going to go over the full allegation information that's in the warrant. We'll discuss it a little bit, okay?
Okay.
So, allegation number four, Mr. Brady, please.
Allegation number four. On 10/25/2018, the offender was removed from ASPC Hyman, SMU 1 West, on CIS status. The offender was transported to the Phoenix Electronic Monitoring Unit for initial intake. Terms and conditions and supervision were explained to and signed by the offender. defendant was assigned to a task for random drug and alcohol testing. Task UA procedures were explained to the offender. On 12/26/2018, Senior Parole Officer Perrella had full contact with the offender. The offender's Miss UA violation from 12/24/2018 was addressed. The offender denied use of any alcohol or drugs. The offender was directed to submit a urine specimen to TAS on this day. The offender submitted the urine specimen as directed, which subsequently tested positive for alcohol, ETG, per TAS LCNS lab report dated 1/4/2019. Follow-up. On 12/27/18, the offender was taken into custody on this warrant. The offender claimed at the time he was using NyQuil and received a flu shot, which is why he tested positive for ETG alcohol. A LCMS test was completed, did not verify the offender tested positive for alcohol ETG. TAS confirmed NyQuil would not test positive for ETG if he was taking the proper and prescribed doses.
Thank you, sir. So, Mr. Harris, what's false about that?
Can I go, please? Can you hear me, please?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes. So what's false about
that? He said I drunk alcohol. I had a couple of food. On the 24th, I then went down to Walgreens and bought some NyQuil and NyQuil, they both come together.
Okay.
And I slept in the house all day.
Okay, well, let's move this forward into phase two, and then you can have a little more time to explain it more in depth, okay?
Okay.
All right, so we're going to move to phase two, so I'm going to move to based on Mr. Harris's testimony for allegation 1, 2, and 3 and the information from DOC, Mr. Brady, on allegation number 4, I find that Mr. Harris was going to have a rally in terms of addition of the supervision, and that he had not for the van, actually, to the way of the company.
Second.
Well, hold on a second. Hang on a second. Okay, both myself, second by Mr. Canales, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, Ms. Woodenhouse. Okay, so we're moving into phase two in a moment, but before we do, Mr. Wright is going to get some background information. So stay right there on the phone, and I'll be right back with you. So, Mr. Wright.
Mr. Harris was released from DOC on October 25th of 2018. He was arrested on December 27th of 2018 by parole staff and field arrest. He has no new charges. He was returned back to DOC on December 27th of 2018. He has a CSED September 28th of 2020 that reflects zero scan days. Current conviction, 2009, aggravated assault, 11 years, 3 months. 2009 sex offender registration, 2 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2007 aggravated assault, 1 year. He has 2 terms with DOC, his CUIR score of 4.4, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 1. He has no gang affiliation. Prior term of supervision, 2008, the offender was released on an absolute discharge. Disciplinary violations are monitored with drugs and violence noted. Other arrests. 1988, burglary, second degree, Illinois, felony conviction, state prison. 1990, burglary, third degree, Illinois, felony conviction, state prison. 1993, burglary, second degree, Illinois, felony conviction, state prison. 1994, burglary, Illinois, felony conviction, state prison. 1996, sexual assault, Illinois, felony conviction, state prison. 2004, sex offender registration violation, Illinois, felony conviction, state prison. 2004, sex offender registration violation, Illinois, felony conviction, state prison. 2007, sex offender registration violation, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. Is a community risk score of a G2V4.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Harris, we're going to go over a summary of your case supervision now. So on October 25th, 2018, you were released from Ironman, and you were put away from the belt, and you were put to reside at the halfway house, two brothers, one another, at 3702 West Tonto Street in Phoenix, Arizona. So you went there, did you stay there until you were arrested, sir?
Yes, that's right, I was there.
Okay. And it looked like you were working for Southwest Forest Products?
No, I had quit that job and got a better job, and it should be right behind me, at Capstone Logistics.
I see. What did you do for Capstone Logistics? What was the job?
I worked in a freezer. Putting the products from Dashers, Albusers, and Food City of Fires.
Okay, so you were doing the freezer work to send out to the grocery store. But I had a nephew that did that same kind of job for Cisco for 9 years. Okay, so did, it's a very minimal you're working, and your change in employment was because you were getting a better job. That's all good.
Right.
Okay, so you were assigned a task for drug and alcohol testing. During the time you're out, you submitted 5 urine specimens, and you failed to submit 3 urine specimens. And you submitted 2 positive urine specimens for alcohol, one on December 26, 2018, and one on November 28, 2018. You wanted to explain that one allegation more. So on the last one, you said that the alcohol was from NyQuil and DayQuil?
Yes, but sir, you just said something about the, they sent me down there 5 times and I missed 3 and so positive for 2. That's wrong, they didn't send me down there 3 times to the place.
Okay.
The last statement you just made.
Okay, well, what do you mean?
The last one you just made, this is wrong. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, according to all the information that I had ever been given about NyQuil and alcohol showing up in your blood, okay?
Can I explain this thing?
Well, listen to me, sir. Listen to me. With my experience in law enforcement and traffic and dealing with DUIs and alcohol and, you know, all that good stuff, everything that I've ever read and been told by anybody in the lab or anything is that to get a high enough alcohol reading that the task test would pick up with NyQuil and or DayQuil, you would be so sick you couldn't get up for days because you'd have to drink gallons of it and couldn't afford it because there's not enough alcohol in NyQuil to set off. Task has levels they look for. And if your level of alcohol, your level of THC, your level of anything is below a certain threshold, it comes up as a negative. If it's above that threshold, it comes up as a positive. To get above that threshold with alcohol, you just really physically can't do it with NyQuil and or DayQuil. Okay, so
it's impossible to explain to you. I wouldn't be trying to cut you off, but you're not letting me say anything. I mean,
okay, well, I mean, go ahead and show me.
I'm trying to dispute what you're saying. Well, I'm trying to explain my side of it.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Okay, he called me. I had went down on the 21st. I sent him there for alcohol or anything. I sent him there. Then he called me again to go down there. I didn't know on the Monday, on the 24th. And I didn't know that he didn't told me to come down there because I was getting sick with the flu. And then the day after Christmas, the PO called me on the phone and told me that I knew that I was supposed to go down there on the 24th. And I said, said, no, I didn't. He said, well, can you go down to the game and take a test? I said, yeah. I said, yeah, but I'm sick of the dog right now. He said, well, if you got something to take, you can go down there. I said, wait, he said, can you make it? I said, yeah, I'm going down there with it. And I took, that's when I took the knife out of the bottle, and I went on down there. I took the bus on down there. Then I come back the next day, because you can look at my paperwork. It's all right there. I took the test on a Monday. I went on that Friday. I was negative. Then I was sick the whole time. And then that Monday, that Wednesday, right after Christmas, he asked me to go down and I went down there that same day. And he told me to go down there. And he came to pick me up the next day, said I was 35 alcohol.
Okay. Okay, sir. Let's move on to get the rest of the information covered. You were referred to a CHC, CAP program for substance abuse issues. You completed CAP screening intake on December 3rd, 2018, and assessed for 48 sessions. For CHC, you did not attend the CAP. On December 22nd, you missed a total of one session and attended two. And then, of course, that would, up to that point, you probably go to holidays or find one many passes, and then you got violated. So, let's see, for sanctions. You're having problems at the World Warner Halfway House. They were close to sending, discharging you for curfew violations and drinking alcohol. And that was back on November 26th. That's the report your PO got from 201, one another Halfway House. Staff the case with S.P.O. Pereira. They conducted an unannounced check on you at your residence. However, you have a receipt located in his property indicating that he purchased some two alcoholic beverages on November 23rd, 2018. P.O. Berg and S.P.O. Pereira located the offender as he was walking home near 35th Avenue in Buckeye. And the compliance check was completed with no issues. You admitted to him slipping and drinking alcohol beverages over the weekend. And you also admitted to violating 9 p.m. curfew, but you stated that you thought you had 12 a.m. curfew, as this is what he claimed the sponsor told him during his intake. You were redirected. The curfew was 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. when not working, and 1 a.m. to 8 a.m. if working, as you worked two shifts. You were placed on GPS as a sanction for a minimum of 60 days. And you were granted to report a task on the 27th of November. And you were told not to ingest intoxicating beverages while on supervision. And you were directed on the 27th of November to report a task and provide the urine specimens. And you were sanctioned for these 9 days to increase your weight testing to a month. Increased contact with the PO, and that was his discretion when the contact would be a CCH counselor for substance abuse programming. And this is what you are doing to your violent criminal history. All violations are to be staffed with a supervisor. On December 10th, your staff were fully supervised question regarding your battery unable to make violations. You would be redirected on GPS charging procedures. So, It seems like you are having various problems off and on as you went through the time you were out there, sir.
No, sir, never had one problem. That's what I'm telling you upstairs. That was the first, that's the one I told you, the first allegation. The first allegation, okay. The one you just realized, but that's what I got the sanctions for. The first allegation.
Okay.
That I'm there, that's what the sanctions for, the first allegation there. And like I said, I told Tom also, I take responsibility there because I did slip and drink. You know, I did do that. And that's when I had came in late. That was one time. That happened one time. That was it. That was 3 months, I mean 2 months after, I mean 2 months prior to this last incident, the one that I got violated last for. Because that's why I asked you to look at the times, man, you will see all the times that I went down there, I had no alcohol in my system. From that time to the last time, from 11, let me get this date right, from 10:25 to 11:27, I had nothing in my system. That was the first time I had drink. That was the only time I had anything drink. Then from 11:29 to 12:26, which is when he asked me to go down there, and I came positive again. That's the one that was for him on 27th of December, is when I became positive again. Now, I wasn't having various problems. It was just, I don't know how to explain it.
Okay, sir. Let me see.
I was doing the best I could.
Let me see. So if any of my fellow board members have any questions for me at this time? Any questions from my fellow board members? Okay, sir, we're here in the end of your hearing. The board will be going into the discussion shortly to make a determination. But before we do, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Tell us anything else you think that we should know before we make our decision. We just ask that you don't repeat all the information we've already covered.
Well, that's what I had to talk about, that information we covered, because they said I was sitting down there five times. If you look at the times table, the times table will show you yourself I wouldn't sit down there three times. On the time, I wouldn't sit there three times. I only missed going down there once. And I had a WUA, W2 WUA. It's all the times papers that I got in front of me. I only missed one time going down there. I wasn't even sit down there five times. If you look at where it says times request, you can read the thing. But yesterday on the days I was requested around, and that's over three of those. I was requested to go to other days. Now, I explained to my parole officer, he knew I was diabetic. The GPS monitor thing, I didn't feel it vibrating. I was at day long, but they worked because I worked night times. So I didn't feel it vibrating on my leg. You know, because I got neuropathy in my knee. They knew that. He knew I had no feeling. I explained that to him. And he said, well, don't worry about it. You should have seen a flash at LAB. I'm like, I don't want to see if my parents' name is over. He said, don't worry about it. Okay. It went off, and then the guy said it went off for 8 hours. I'm like, 8 hours? I'm like, why you didn't call me the first time it went off? On my phone, but you knew where I was, and they got my phone number to my cell phone. I was at work.
Okay, sir.
I said, you waited 9 hours to try to get off? And then you decided to call me when I plugged it in? I said, I didn't understand that. But that's what happened with that. Like I said, I didn't try to not plug it in. I was at work. And like I said, the second allegation, I mean, the third allegation, I was sick. I was sick with the third. Yes.
Okay, you're repeating all the information you've already gone over. So is there anything new, something different than you've already said that you'd like to tell us?
I was wasn't out running around getting in trouble doing stupid things. I mean, yeah, I did one stupid thing. I mentioned it the first time. And that was my last time. You know, I worked two jobs. As you can see, sometimes I work two shifts on one job. But I wasn't up there, you know, messing up, running the streets and getting in trouble. I tried. Like I said, I just did 10 and a half years. And for me to go out in less than 2 weeks to get a job, I don't think many of you guys would keep coming back and forth. Did that. All I was asking for is a second chance to get right. That's it. That's all I asked.
Okay. All right, well, thank you, sir.
Well, I accept responsibility for the things that, you know, I did. I know I messed up in some areas. But
okay, sir.
I don't think I should revoke totally. I mean, I think I deserve at least another look at it. At least a hard look at another look. Ain't gonna let it change.
Okay, so we're repeating everything again. So, the board is going to be in a discussion to make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're aggressive here, but we won't be. But stay on the phone. You can hear the whole conversation. And once we've made a decision, I'll get back with you. Okay, sir?
Okay.
All right, the board is now in discussion. And Mr. Harris is, he's an animated young man. Probably has some good potential, but he also has some problems following directions and behaving while he's on CIS. I'm not comfortable with the idea of putting Mr. Harris back out into committee on supervision again at this time. But I'm going to listen to the discussion from me and my fellow board members. Mr. Rosen,
thank you, Mr. Neal. If he says he's diabetic, if he's diabetic, the last thing he needs to do is drink. And that's one of those really not a good thing for you if you're diabetic. And I understand, I'm glad he was working, and that's a good thing. But I think he just has trouble following conditions. So,
I think you should come in the comments. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's an all information, law number 2018W3748. Mr. Harris's testimony and information from the Department of Corrections. I am going to move to revoke community supervision of Mr. Harris. I will be going with my name, term, condition of the supervision, and have after or without the last of the criminal ways or the company.
Second.
Motion by myself, second by Mr. Canomo, said anybody back to the right, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, so the board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time. Paperwork I understand says that your release date will be done with this on September 28th of 2020. I would suggest that you partake of any program you can get while you're in there, especially substance abuse training. Hopefully you get one when you're released and you'll be able to go back to your jobs and not have any serious problems with any drugs or alcohol. And we won't see you in that orange t-shirt again. So,
yes, sir. Can I say something to you? I mean, I want y'all to vote, man.
Well, the discussion is over, sir. And the board has made a decision, so this will be in your hearing. And if you put the CO3 back on the phone, I'd appreciate it.
So, that's it for me?
With that thing in your hearing, and if you would put the CO3 back on the phone, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, sir.